Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Production Night. I'm your host, Trinity Bland, the opinion editor, and I'm here with
Sarah Rott, back at it. We're hosting Production Night. This is the last podcast.
It is. We're together again. This is so cool.
Woohoo! It's great.
It is great. And we're here for the last episode to talk about the news. We're going to talk about the news because that's what we do here on Production Night. So
absolutely.
You kind of want to kick us off with the first story?
Sure. So guys, if you haven't already heard, SDSU is requiring students to be vaccinated before they come on campus. So this was announced on April 23rd. They announced that immunization against COVID-19 will be required for students, faculty, and staff who plan to access the campus. The vaccine requirement, which is set to be implemented by 2021 fall semester, has brought out a various opinions among the students. The Student Health Services announced in a university-wide email that the requirement will be implemented by both the California State University and University of California system, pending full approval of one or more vaccines by the FDA. So people had their opinions of it. Students were for it. Students were against it. A freshman at SDSU, who is also in the military, compared the university's vaccination requirement to the fact that it's not yet required in the military. The student asked to remain unnamed. Quote, "I think it's a very smart decision by the school to wait for FDA approval. Personally, I'll be waiting until then to get my vaccine," the student said. "The military is currently not requiring us to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And I'm guessing they will also be waiting for the FDA approval as well to make it a requirement," end quote. So SDSU is encouraging students to get vaccinated. Obviously, this pops up on your Canvas account if you log on to Canvas, because VA House Arena is offering walk-ins now, and the university is also offering incentives to get you to do it by offering $50 gift cards to students who upload their vaccination cards to Health eConnect, which is awesome. I feel that's very good. Trinity, what are your thoughts about this?
I think the requirement is actually a really great one. I think it is thinking of the student body. It's thinking of the faculty. I think it's thinking of just the entire SDSU community, right? Like, we want to be healthy. We want to stay healthy. We don't want outbreaks. We don't want, you know, anything bad to happen in terms of our health. And I think that this requirement will really help students to understand the importance of the vaccine and taking care of yourself and all of these things. I personally am getting vaccinated soon, and I think that it is important, you know, because COVID caused a literal pandemic, right? So going into this new school year, I think it will benefit the student body and really change things for the better. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, if you remember, Trinity, there was actually an outbreak at SDSU when this pandemic first started, and we definitely do not want one of those again. That's the last thing on our mind. So yeah, I also agree. I hope that SDSU does take into account though that students are not going to choose to get vaccinated, and so they offer some kind of hybrid so students can still go to school and get their degree and not have to go on campus. So we shall see what happens, as stated as the last sentence in the story. Whether or not students will be compliant with the university's requirement will be a well-known in the fall. So let's just hope for the best. If you're vaccinated, congratulations. If you're choosing not to get vaccinated, that's your choice. We understand. But, you know, stay safe, please. Again, wash your hands, social distance. Let's get rid of this thing.
Let's get rid of it, because it's been around too long. Moving on to the next story, our senior staff writer Patrick Doyle wrote about SDSU's decision to continue to suspend study abroad programs throughout the summer.
So, as we all know, SDSU has a study abroad option, but due to COVID, it has been suspended. And while there's no word on these programs will resume beyond the summer, the university said that students can expect additional opportunities to become available as state, country, and international public health guidance continues to evolve. Many students who are required to study internationally to graduate hope the Webb Honors College Program waiver stays in effect until more people are vaccinated and COVID-19 case numbers significantly decreases. Additionally, the university stated they will continue to support students who pursue study abroad opportunities through approved organizations. They advise that students prepare for changes and install the Alert Traveler app to give them relevant public safety information on these locations. But despite these measures, some students like history and political science sophomore Grace DeVega is still uncomfortable traveling this year. Quote, I think starting next summer, 2022, I would feel comfortable studying abroad, DeVega said. I don't think currently I would feel that comfortable just considering the fact that we haven't vaccinated as many people as I think we should before we are allowed full international travel and study abroad programs. The school is all about student safety, and so I think if they really want to push that and make sure that's at the forefront of their agenda, then they want to assure we are vaccinated and have all the precautions necessary to travel safely, end quote. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
I agree with it too. I think it was the best choice for our student body and for SDSU to make. Again, just really in line with the idea of staying healthy and just making sure that we're understanding everything that's going on in regards to our health. I mean, asking ourselves if traveling outside of the country, like, is that the wisest option right now? Is that the wise decision that we need to make? And if SDSU is choosing to suspend that, you know, obviously we have to respect it, abide by it, and kind of just look through and look for some other alternatives, you know, as in terms of, you know, studying abroad, because there are a lot of cool opportunities right here in the United States to study outside of California. I mean, me being an out-of-state student, I kind of know what it's like outside of California, and I know some students don't. And I think that this will be a really great time for students to kind of explore that.
Absolutely. Really suck for students to be held back because they can't travel due to a pandemic.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, guys, moving on. At SDSU, we have so many cool cultural programs for all of our students. And since it is Asian American Pacific Islander Month, the Vietnamese Student Association did a virtual culture night. Trinity, do you want to tell us about this?
Yeah, I can definitely get into it. Caitlin Nguyen, who will be our next EIC, our next editor-in-chief, reported on the Vietnamese Student Association's annual cultural night that occurred online on April 16th, which featured a short play, musical performances, parent interviews, dances, and a lip sync performance. And I heard amazing things about this night. And according to multiple VSA members, many of them related heavily to the experiences and themes in the play. First year business student and cultural night actor Donna Tran said, "The story really aligned perfectly with me and my personal experience helping my parents with those language barriers. The whole play was about the immigration experience and the language barrier between the kids that are born here and their immigrant parents. The play had two acts and ran for a total of 15 minutes. It took a total of 20 hours to edit, and VCN video editor and actor Raymond Nguyen Phan said he rushed to edit the second act during VCN's intermission on the Twitch live stream. His exact words were, "During intermission, I quickly threw together the audio that was needed as well as the captions and rendered that out in like 15 minutes. That was kind of stressful, but we got it done and I think people really enjoyed it." And I really do think people enjoyed it and enjoy a lot of the cultural programs that our student organizations on campus do put on. But for more information on the organization, visit their Instagram at SDSUVSA.
Absolutely. That is so cool. That's really awesome that they still kind of threw something together, even being online. Speaking of videos and stuff, what about a timeline of the LGBTQ plus influence in music? There has been so many icons to come out of music. Trinity, do you want to talk about the story?
Yeah, so Ryan Hardison and Jacob Sullivan, two arts writers, covered a timeline, a literal timeline and a transitional kind of story, kind of going from decade to decade of how people in the queer community have influenced music. And so the story kind of jumps from decade to decade, starting with the 50s and the rise of Little Richard all the way up to the present in the 2010s. And it really covers and depicts a lot of icons in music that have changed the music game forever. They are trailblazers with the way that they represented this community in music. A journalism and media studies professor who studies LGBTQ plus media representation in pop culture, Dr. Nathan Shea Rodriguez, says that social media platforms like TikTok and Vine provide an instantaneous reaction and a direct way to connect with fans and provides a certain freedom that allows LGBTQ plus people to openly be themselves. We did not have that platform for a lot of LGBTQ artists, and the artists that were LGBTQ were not able to be out singing about themselves, Dr. Nate said. So I think that some of the positives that have happened is that we start to see these doorways open, and social media has done a lot for that. Now, this story is pretty long, but it's super informative and super rich with history and a lot of favorites that people have in music today. So you can definitely check it out in the arts and culture section on our website. But Sarah, do you have a favorite artist or two that was mentioned in this wonderful article?
Oh, absolutely. I'm huge fans of David Bowie and Freddie Mercury. And Dr. Nate had a very good point that back then there wasn't the platform for them to be open and stuff like that. And now here we are in 2021 and Queen had a movie about like 2 years ago, whatever, that was wonderful. And we got to see Freddie Mercury. I love that movie. But yeah, I love David Bowie and Freddie Mercury. What about you, Trinity?
I love Elton John. I love Janelle Monáe. But I really love the fact that Ryan and Jacob took the initiative to mention people that aren't a part of the queer community, but had an impact on those who identify with the LGBTQ plus community, such as Madonna with the whole voguing culture in the early 90s. And I really love that aspect of the article. So like I said, for more information and to read further into the story, check it out in our arts and culture section.
Moving right along, if you remember last week, we talked about an opinion story. Well, this week, I want to talk about another one. This was written by senior staff writer Catherine Van Wiel, and it's about how SDSU needs more gender-neutral restrooms. Now, as a junior who transferred in SDSU, I have not been to the campus yet. But before we get into the story, Trinity, are there a lot of gender-neutral bathrooms on SDSU? Have you noticed?
I personally have never noticed a gender-neutral bathroom on SDSU's campus. And I know the story talks about one or two being there on campus, as far as the writer knows, but I personally have never noticed one.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, in this story, she talks about how they're becoming a more commonplace, as they should. And it has an important step to be inclusive of people who are transgender or non-binary. And in most places, there are separate restrooms for men and for women. That's the norm. And people are asked to choose an identity. Obviously, this is a big one. UCLA study found 68% of transgender people have experienced verbal harassment in a gendered bathroom, with a racial discrepancy between Black and white transgender individuals. 9% of transgender people in the study reported being physically assaulted in gendered restroom. This is unacceptable and we should not tolerate this. So gender neutral restrooms can benefit gender conforming people as well. Parents of non-binary and transgender children will have a greater peace of mind knowing their children will have an access to such spaces. Also make it easier for families with young children. Parents with children of opposite sex could help their children use the restroom when out in public, and people with disabilities or the elderly who require assistance using the restroom would be able to have their caregiver of the opposite sex provide the care they need. Gendered restrooms are actually rooted in the history of discrimination. It has only been within the last century that restrooms were legally mandated to separate by gender. During the Industrial Revolution, women began to enter the workforce and require restrooms in public spaces. Separate restrooms were then built for women to use, rationalized by privacy concerns and sexist ideology, which held that women were weaker sex, thus required different accommodations. You know, that's a big one when you take it way back in history. What are your thoughts, Trinity?
I had no idea that the history for gendered bathrooms goes all the way back. I mean, I don't know. People don't talk about this. So I didn't know. And we're not taught about these things. All we know is we go into this bathroom if we identify, you know. And so now that there is an option for those who might not fit in the box, I'm glad that that option is available for those people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're here in 2021 and we're making extreme progress on changing
absolutely
how life is.
We sure are. So wrapping it up, we want to give a special, special shout out to our seniors at the Daily Aztec. Right. We've had an amazing year this far in this global pandemic, going through the Black Lives Matter movement and the whole election and just a whole bunch of stuff in between. The seniors knocked it out of the park. And we have a lot of seniors on staff, but we want to highlight a few special seniors on our editorial board. Do you want to mention who they are?
We want to give a special Shout out to the senior editors who are leaving us. So shout out to Brendan, Alexa, Devin, Kyle, Luis, and Angela. Thank you so much. You've done a great job. We're so sad that you're leaving. But also, I think a congratulations is in order. Trinity over here, she just got the job for managing editor. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time coming. And, you know, I worked really hard, so I'm really excited to really lead with Caitlin as the editor-in-chief and me being managing editor next year and just entering this new chapter of the Daily Aztec. And Brendan, Alexa, Devin, Kyle, Luis, and Angela have held down the Daily Aztec and made their presence known, and we definitely will follow in their footsteps and look to them for being inspirational journalists to us. So we're excited. We're excited for their future and the future of the Daily Aztec.
Absolutely. You've led us in the right direction. Now we're taking the reins.
Yep, we are.
We also want to give a special shout out to everyone who has co-hosted on the podcast. Now you heard me for weeks on end. I want to say thank you to Trinity, who hosted with me twice. I want to say thank you to both Caitlin's, our editor-in-chief, and our news editor. Thank you to Jaden for producing this, and for Patrick and Ashley, who were on the podcast before I was. Also, shout out to Jason and Josh, who were also my co-hosts at one time. So thank you all for helping produce this awesome podcast. And lastly, thank you, Brendan, for giving me the opportunity to help produce it. We had so much fun. We've talked about a lot of great stories. We reported the news, and I'm very happy to be a part of the podcasting team.
It's been super fun, and the Production Nights podcast is such a valuable part to the Daily Aztec. I can't wait to see where it goes in this next chapter of the Daily Aztec. But I'm your host, Trinity Bland, the opinion editor, soon to be managing editor, and I was joined by...
And I'm Sarah Rott, a staff writer for the Daily Aztec. And thank you so much for tuning in to the last podcast of the semester, and we'll see you guys soon.
See ya. Bye.